Anyway, we're talking about patience. And I was reading this book by a man named Alan Kreider. It was called The Patient Ferment of the Early Church. And he was talking about the church in the second century in the Roman Empire. And it was fascinating. He said that the church wasn't emphasizing anything like evangelism or missions like you would expect. That's what I would have expected. In fact, they weren't even inviting people to their church services. Only those who were baptized could even come. And yet they grew, like they exploded. Now, he wasn't being prescriptive, by the way. He was just saying this is what they did. Despite not having those sort of formal things, the church grew at an unbelievable rate in that century. One historian suggested that the average growth was 40% per decade. Isn't that wild? Can you imagine that multiplication? 40% growth every single decade. So they didn't have evangelism programs, didn't have mission trips. What did they have? What they had were the fruits of the Spirit. They had virtues. And Kreider says the number one virtue that the early church had was patience, which is not what I would have expected, because patience kind of seems like kind of a lightweight virtue. But here's what Tertullian, the early church father, said. I think we have the quote back there. Patience outfits faith, guides peace, assists love, equips humility, keeps the flesh in check, preserves the spirit, bridles the tongue, restrains the hands, tramples temptation underfoot, removes what causes us to stumble. When God's spirit descends, patience is always at his side. Isn't that good? Maybe patience isn't quite as light as we've treated it. When God descends, patience is always at his side. Now, let me let you guys behind the curtain about what happens here sometimes in this building. I will get a text often from Janelle, and she'll text Carly and I, and it'll have four letters, S-O-T-D, and a YouTube video. And that means song of the day. And invariably, what that means is Janelle woke up with a song rolling around in her head from her childhood, and now she has to share it with us to make sure it gets in our heads. It's sort of a warning, isn't it? It's like, this, I'm going to be singing this today, right? Is that, no, you don't want me to talk about this for some reason. I don't know. But they'll usually come from like 1977, you know, like the Music Machine. How many of you guys remember the Music Machine records? There's a handful of us, okay? And on that particular one, there was a song called Have Patience. How many of you remember the song? Okay, Sharona, I want you to come up and sing it. Not really, no. We're not going to do that. That is one that just gets stuck in your head. This has happened a couple of times. So Janelle will be walking around singing about Herbert the snail. Because let's face it, if you're friends with the snail, it's really important to, you know, stop and be patient, because it's going to be a while if you're going to go hang out, you know, down by the river, right? So patience, I think, is associated in a lot of ways with slowing down. Don't be in such a hurry. And that is a good lesson for us to learn, I suppose. Like, not being in such a hurry, that's a good thing. And we have to learn it from time to time. I have to learn it every time I go kayaking with Pastor Joshua. And here's why. If you've ever been kayaking with Joshua Rivas, now he's turbo on a lot of things, but when he gets on the river, he leans back, he puts on his sunglasses, he puts his feet outside of the boat in the water, and like, I don't know, he might as well just have a pillow or something. It's like, he just wants to chill. I call it going kayaking. Joshua calls it floating the river. It's two very different ideas of what's supposed to happen on the river. The first time we went, he's like, why are you paddling so much? I'm like, because we're in kayaks. Like, it's fun. And he's like, man, you just gotta, like this. So I've got to learn when I'm with him, don't be in such a hurry. And it's like, okay, that is a good thing to learn. But it's actually not what the New Testament is really talking about when it's talking about patience. In fact, in 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter says God is patient, but he makes a distinction from slowness. He's talking about how people will mock believers who are expecting Jesus to come back, and Peter has a response. So let's look at that. Verse 8, do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is patient, but he's not slowing down to smell the roses. Now, that's not what's happening. In fact, the New King James translates verse 9 this way. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us. Do you get that? Instead of patient, he says long-suffering. That's a very different connotation from sort of the modern way we think of patient as slow, right? God is long-suffering. And that's actually the way that word is translated in the King James pretty much all the way through, and often in the New American Standard as well. And I think it's actually closer to what the Greek means, long-suffering. When we say patience today, that's not what we're thinking. But the Greek word really is taking us to a deeper place than, you know, taking a couple extra minutes and not getting upset with the barista because she's taking too long on your Americano. It's taking us to a deeper place. So why does it have this connotation for us? I suspect it might be a linguistic thing. Part of it, patient person, that's an adjective in English. Patience is a noun, but there's not a verb form, right? If you have a whole bunch of people, if all your kids are super antsy to get, you know, going to the baseball game, and you can't say, hey, patientify yourself. Like, that doesn't exist, construction doesn't exist, you know? So you can tell them, have patience, but then even that's not strong enough, because it's like, have this thing, you know? Like, have a thing or be patient. You might tell them to wait, and that's getting closer, but in the New Testament, oftentimes, when we're using this word, we're talking about dealing with hard times. Okay, Romans 8:22. Through 25, Paul's talking about creation groaning and our spirits longing for something we don't have yet. Let's read it. First in the Christian Standard Bible, for we know that the whole creation has been groaning together with labor pains until now. Not only that, but we ourselves have the Spirit as the first fruits. We also groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. Now in this hope we are saved, but the hope that is seen is not hope, because who hopes for what he sees? Now if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with patience. Look at what the New American Standard says this at the end instead. It says, but if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we eagerly wait for it. You see that? It doesn't translate it as patience. It says perseverance. This is getting, now we're getting somewhere. Patience means persevering. It means pushing through. And in this context, we're longing for something better. We're longing for the redemption of all of creation. We don't have it yet. All we have is a hope that one day we will have it. So all we can do is wait with perseverance. Now this goes from a very kind of a light, easy virtue to talk about to a heavy one to try to actually form. Patience is a thing that suffers long. Patience endures. Patience perseveres. Thayer's lexicon defines the most common New Testament word for Greek, which is hupomone, this way. It says, In the New Testament, it means the characteristic of a man who is not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. Someone who is not swerved. In other words, I'm going to keep doing this thing, even if I don't have the result yet, and I believe one day something good's going to happen, but I'm not going to get impatient and become somebody different. I'm going to continue to walk in this direction, even though it's really, really hard and it would be so easy to give up. This is the picture I think we have when we talk about the patience of Job. Remember Job? He wasn't the guy that learned to stop and smell the flowers and wait for his pokey little brother that was coming up behind him. That's not what we're talking about, is it? Job was a man who lost everything. He lost his home. He lost all his possessions. Then he lost his children. Then he lost his wife. Then he lost his health. He lost everything. The only thing he didn't lose were a handful of really crummy friends who wouldn't shut up about theology in his hour of despair. I would have been praying, Lord, take them too. But what did he do? He continued on. He did not change course. He started out as a righteous man, and he ended up a righteous man who refused to curse God and die. Job suffered long. He didn't have answers, but he held on to the hope that God was good, and he persevered until the day God redeemed all of his suffering. He was steadfast in the face of hardship. He was not swerved. That's what we're being called to here. That's a kind of patience. That's a fruit of the Spirit. And it would be impossible, except this is what the Spirit grows in us. You're not going to be able to work this out by yourself. But let's acknowledge something. This is very difficult. In fact, I think it might be more difficult in environments like ours where we believe that the Holy Spirit is active, where we believe that God hears our prayers and sometimes gives us answers, sometimes miraculous answers. I think it's harder for us. I really do. Because oftentimes when hardship comes, we tend to lean on that alone. We tend to pray prayers of evacuation. So if we're in financial hardship, the prayer is, Lord, restore my bank account, please! Change the circumstance! And that's our one move. When sickness comes, it's, Lord, take away this disease, please change the circumstance! And that's our one move. Lord, I'm in a hard situation. Take this cup from my hands. You guys, I'm not saying it's bad to pray those things. We should. That's great. Do that. But let's just remember, we don't always get that immediate resurrection of our bank accounts. We don't always get. In fact, we don't. There's a lot of times we do not get the healing we ask for. And God very rarely takes the cup from our hands. He didn't with his own son. And I think we've got to learn a little bit more in environments like this to be able to step back and say, okay, wait a minute. There has to be something more than this prayer of evacuation. Maybe God wants to really grow something in me in the process. Maybe I can trust that he's going to do something good, but he wants to do something. He wants to work something in me. Now, I know that might sound like bad news, but you guys, the New Testament is full of encouragement that God is working something in us in the midst of suffering. It's chock full of them. And sometimes I think we're too quick to ignore those verses. Some things can only be learned through suffering. I wish it weren't so. I wish we could turn on a podcast and get it all. I wish I could say something that would give you everything you needed. It's not gonna happen. I wish it could happen through the laying on of hands, but no, some things only happen through suffering and God growing something deeper and more solid and more rugged. The glory of God, thankfully, is most clearly revealed, I believe, when the saints of God are faced with ongoing hardship and still stand firm. That's what happened in the early church. That's exactly what happened. The glory of God was powerfully revealed, not because they were endlessly healthy and always wealthy, not because they didn't have problems. In fact, it was the opposite. They had all kinds of problems, and they endured. and they kept loving. They had long, they were long-suffering. They displayed patience and did not change who they were. And when we're able to exhibit that to the world, that is when the glory of God's most clearly shown through us. I think all of us probably are battling something that it's hard to have patience for, an ongoing circumstance. And we're all, I think, in the midst of learning something like this. And I want to ask Alicia Orton to come up and join me, because Alicia, she does really well in this department. Give her a hand. I love the check-in sticker there. That's great. That's a new fashion. I think we should all be doing it. Alicia, we were brainstorming about who to have come talk about this, and your name came up because I'm like, oh yeah, she must do this really, really naturally. Is that the case?
No.
Oh, well, you can go sit down then. It's not. You don't do it now. I don't know why I picked up the second microphone. I already have one. Well, I don't know why I just did that. That was strange. Okay. Alicia, tell us then, how is it that you displayed this and that you walk in this so well?
So I'm naturally not somebody who's just a patient person. I love checklists. I love just checking things off my list, getting it done, efficient, timely, no delays. That's how I would do everything if I could.
Right.
But I feel like God really, he developed patience in me, kind of like what you were saying, by not just downloading patience, but by putting me in positions where I could develop patience and walking through seasons of my life where I learned to develop patience through those seasons.
Yeah, we were talking about two of the big ways that this happened in your life. And one of them was in starting a family. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. So I think when I look back, one of the biggest seasons that really stands out when I see that he was developing patience in me is wanting to start a family. And as far back as I can remember, even as a little girl, I have always wanted to be a mother. I remember people asking, you know, what do you want to do when you grow up? And I would think, I want to be a mom. Like, there was just no other, that's just what I always wanted to do. And so, you know, I grew and got married to my husband, Clint, and we were married for a few years and decided, okay, you know, let's start a family. I want to be a mom. Let's start a family. We're going to have kids and have a family, and that's just going to be how it's going to go. But that's not how it went. We started trying to have a family and lost two babies. So would get pregnant, lost the baby. And then try again, get pregnant. And, you know, each time you're thinking, okay, yes, yes, okay, check it off the list, done, I'm pregnant. We're going to have a family, it's yet, and lost another baby. And then we went through a season where just I wasn't getting pregnant. And so we really went through a time of just, for me, holding on to this hope and this gift that I really felt like God had put in my heart, that I was supposed to be a mother, but not seeing it happen. And so I think that's where I really started learning that God's timing is not my timing. Mm. And eventually we did get pregnant and had our son, but it was, the timing was much different than what I thought it would be.
Yeah.
And even back before my husband and I were married, God had given me the name of our daughter. And it would be over a decade before we actually had our daughter and gave her that name. And so it was a long season of just waiting.
Just waiting and holding on to the belief that God was going to show himself faithful.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And so now you have two children, and not only was Caden born, but Aurora was born.
Yep. Yes.
Like, there it is.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
So a real fulfillment, yep. Right? And in the process, now since then, you've had to continue to exercise patience in some unexpected and really difficult ways with your son.
Right. Yeah, so again, kind of, okay, we've got the kids, like, checked off the list. Now we're just going to go, you know, live happily ever after. Everything's going to be like, you know, what you expect it. And again, my expectation was not, that's not what it was. My son, Caden, he was diagnosed with autism and ADHD, so he has special needs. And that has been a current season of my life that requires also, God is developing patience in me. For all families with special needs, you know, we have hopes and dreams for our kids, for all of our kids, but our kiddos that have these extra needs, the hopes and dreams that I have for my son, they're not going to come about in the timing that I want it to. And I don't know when or even if for some of these things we're going to see that happen. And then just the, you know, the timeline is different. You just have to walk at a different, he walks his life at a different pace. And so I'm learning to have to, I walk at that pace. And so it takes patience to learn to walk at a different pace. You know, from looking around and what you think should be normal or what other families are, that takes patience.
Yeah, there's a level of surrender.
Yeah.
That you've had to sort of walk through, huh? Of like, this milestone, which is a given,
yeah.
It feels like for everybody else,
yeah.
Suddenly might not be a given.
Right.
Or it might be that this milestone might happen much later or in more difficult circumstances.
Right.
So how do you deal with that, with your walk with God?
Yeah, so I used to think that patience was a feeling. Like I was just waiting to just feel patience, to just magically be patient with, you know, all areas of my life, just kind of walk around with this like monk, like just I'm patient and I feel patient. But that's not what I've come to realize patience is.
How do you define it?
I define patience as a stubborn hope. Oh. So,
hold on, let's pause. You guys get that? Let's say that again.
A stubborn hope.
Stubborn hope.
Yeah. So I've come to a place where I go back to what I know, and that's that I know God is good. And I know that he has a plan for all of us. He has a plan for my family. He has a plan for my son. He has a plan for all of you. I know that God has a plan. And I know his timing is good. His timing is not my timing. It's not your timing. And it can take a lot longer than what I would want it to be, but his timing is good. And so I stand on these things that I do know. I know he's good. I know he has a plan. I know his timing is good, and I know he's faithful to do what he said he's going to do. And so I just dig my feet into that goodness, and I just wait on him. And I'm not going to be moved by the whatever it is I'm waiting on. I'm just going to stand in that goodness. And to me, that's the patience piece, is not necessarily feeling. I mean, sometimes we feel patient,
right?
But it's not always a feeling. It's a lot of times it's just digging my feet in and going back to, okay, God, I know that you are good and I know you have a plan and I know that you have promises for all of us. And I'm just going to stand and I'm going to wait for those until I see them happen.
I love this digging your feet in. Isn't that good? It's like digging your feet. Stay up here with me for a minute. Psalm 37 is one I just want to encourage you guys to meditate on this week. Let me just give you the first seven verses here, because this feels like this to me. It's an earthy psalm, one you can dig your feet into. Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious towards wrongdoers, for they wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him and he will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And I love what Alicia's saying here. That's an active thing. I mean, you're putting your heart at rest and waiting, but at the same time, you can't wait if you have a child like Caden. You just can't. You got to continue. You continue to move forward. You continue to give all you have as a parent and trust that the Lord will bring about his purposes. And I think it's the same It's the same mindset I think a farmer has to have. And there's like the agricultural metaphors are all throughout the Psalms. It's neat. A farmer does what he can, right? Plants, waters, and then does everything, and then waits and trusts that God will bring the rains and that God will bring the sun. And I think that's what we're being called to by being patient. Dig your feet in, and we're not going to be swerved from these duties. We're not going to be swerved from our call and our mission. And as parents, sometimes that's the call and the mission, to keep on loving your child, even in a really difficult season, even when you have to give up all of your preconceived notions, but to continue on. I want to do this. I feel like most of us are probably dealing with something here where we have to exercise patience in terms of long suffering. That we're in a season where we have prayed for something to happen and it just hasn't happened because it hasn't. And we've got to continue to dig in and are having to exercise this type of patience. So I want to ask you to do something. I want to ask you to find somebody near you and just take a minute, confess what that thing is, and then pray for one another. Can we do that? Just confess to each other, this is the thing I'm waiting for. This is the thing I'm praying for. And then just pray for God's spirit to grow that thing more and more inside you. All right? So I know this is hard for the extroverts. This is hard for me. But fortunately, I have Alicia up here. So why don't we do that? Let's take a couple of minutes, and then we'll close the service, okay? As we're wrapping up here, I want to just give you one cool little piece of encouragement. We've talked a lot about my son's breakthrough here, and Jack, sitting right over there, is the most patient person I know. You know, he, for those who are visiting, he has autism and apraxia and has been a non-speaker, and for 17 years, he waited to be able to talk to us. And I asked him on Friday if he would speak into this at all. I asked him if he had prayed, if he had talked to God about this in his silence. And he responded this way. He said, "All my life I prayed that I would be able to communicate. And then one day my parents watched the Spellers movie. I think God was listening to me. And he allowed me to have hope that my thoughts were important." Isn't that powerful? God listens. He listens. He has heard. Alicia, can you just bless our people and pray a blessing for God's patience?
Father God, I thank you for every person sitting in here today. I thank you for every person who's watching this message or hearing this message. And you know the areas where each and every single one of us are sitting in that place of waiting on you, of waiting on the healing or the breakthrough or the answer or the provision or whatever it might be. God, we all have those areas where we're just waiting. And so I lift every one of those needs up to you. I lift every one of those people up to you. And I'm asking that you would just renew in our hearts and our minds the memories of your goodness, the times that you've come through for us, the times that you, the testimonies we have, and those things that we can hold on to and remind ourselves that you are good and you do answer prayers and you are faithful and you will do what you say that you will do. And so I just speak that over every single obstacle that is coming against every single person. I just speak the name of Jesus and I speak hope back into those situations. I pray that you just cover every single one of us in peace, in your love, and a renewed sense of patience, that we would be able to walk in this new way of patience as we wait on you, and as we wait on those answers, and as we just rest in your goodness. Bless them all in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Alicia. Yeah, give her a hand. Well done. I want to invite you guys, if you need prayer, maybe you're here and you're like, man, I need some more of that goodness. We invite you to come. Maybe Alicia can be up here and praying too. Can you do that? Yeah. So we just want to invite you guys. We love you and we want to stand with you and all the stuff you're going through. So be blessed. Have a wonderful week.